Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Creative Office Podcast. It has been way too long. We just got a new toy, and I'm having way too much fun with it. I'm here with Caleb Phobes today. What's up, Caleb?
What's up?
We're at Bonnie Lake Campus in the, what do you call it, the glass room or the Google room?
I've heard both. You know, it's both.
The glass Google room.
I think the Google room was the inspiration, but it didn't really turn into
It also doesn't make sense because we have no Google products. We have Apple TVs in here and MacBooks.
Yeah.
So it's the Steve Jobs office.
It's a conference room. We'll call it that.
Conference room.
But glass walls.
And a lot of reverb. There's no sound isolation in here.
There's a good little echo in here.
You can hear the lawnmower or the motorcycle. You can probably hear that.
Yeah.
But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in today. It's been a little over a month that we've released something, but we've just been so busy. It was like Easter, UG conference, a bunch of projects in between. So we're still here. We're still active. We still want to release content. So yeah, thank you for tuning in. Today we kind of have a short one just because we wanted to get something back out there. But Caleb, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, we're just going to talk about some leadership principle, some good little nuggets, one-liners, maybe a modern proverb.
Nice.
If you will. This is stuff I've learned from leaders, stuff we've all heard probably,
yeah.
But just a good little refresher just for, you know, those who are serving and who are in a leadership capacity of some sort, or people who just want to grow and get better and be mature in Christ and in the Lord. So yeah, we just got a couple, I think we got five or six little nuggets that we'll kind of just give to you. And talk about it along the way.
Okay, we'll start with number one.
Number one. That was nice.
That was cool.
Number one. This would actually be a good podcast to take notes if you're not maybe driving a car.
Take mental notes if you're driving. Or go back to it later.
But the first thing is always check the condition of your heart.
This is a big one.
Heart posture really determines a lot of things in your life and in your mental thinking, in your day-to-day, you know, what you're doing. If your heart's not in something, then you're not really giving it your all.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important that we're just constantly checking, you know, the condition of it. Am I becoming, more annoyed with people or less annoyed with people? And that will probably determine, you know, the gauge of where your heart's at in a certain situation. If, you know, if I'm becoming more annoyed with people or more frustrated or easily triggered, you know, it might be time to like refocus, get your heart alone with the Lord and allow him to minister to you. I think that's always been a good indicator for me is my response to things. I'm like, oh, my heart might not be in a good spot. Like I should do some work on it.
Yeah. The way I see it too, is like, we have to love what we do, you know, and if we're just doing it out of compromise or we're doing it because we have to, we feel like we have to, then that's not really a good posture to be in. Because then it doesn't become a blessing to serve. It's not a privilege. It becomes an obligation.
Yep.
And I don't think as servants of the Lord, serving God should ever be an obligation. Like we're not being forced to be there. We want to be there because we want to serve God. And so I think if, and I have my moments too where like, oh man, I got to do it again. So that's where I'm like, okay, heart check, you know, why am I doing what I do? I have to remind myself that what we're doing is for the Lord and love the people we do it with too.
Right.
That's why if there's any beef on teams, I think it needs to get squashed ASAP because we can't be serving with people that we have. And not that we do. We really don't. But if there ever is a problem, I think confrontation maybe with the leader, you know, have a leader present is really good. Just that way we love the people that we're with. You know, I wouldn't like to come in and, you know, have it be awkward with a team member because they have a problem with me, you know. So I think just loving the people that you get to do life with, that you get to serve the Lord with.
Yeah, even the culture of our church and our staff, and it should trickle down into the culture of our teams and our support staff as well, is we have a 7-day window.
Yep.
You either have 7 days, you know, to check your heart, see if maybe you're in the wrong and get over it, or if something offends you, you know, to walk it out in a biblical manner that's written out in Matthew, the book of Matthew. But yeah, I think, you know, if you have 7 days, and if that window's passed, then, you know, put on your big boy pants, big girl pants, and, you know, get over it, or maybe address it to the person. If, you know, they don't agree, then bring another person along, you know, just follow the biblical model.
Sweet. That was great. Awesome.
To keep talking about, the heart. Another one is leaders don't leave room in their hearts or their lives for insecurity because they're too busy investing in lives and building the kingdom of God.
You should repeat that. People are taking notes. Yeah.
Leaders don't leave room in their hearts for insecurity because they are too busy investing in lives and building the kingdom of God.
It's good.
Yeah. When someone said this to me, it wasn't, you know, even an option. Like, it's kind of just a command. Leaders don't leave room in their hearts for insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a leader, you know, insecurity is something that can come up, but it's not something that we need to let linger.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah.
With social media being such
comparison,
a big influence. Yeah.
All this stuff. Leaders are held to a higher standard. And insecurity is often what can, you know, kill a leader.
Yeah.
And insecurity just opens the door to so many different things. You know, even insecure leaders can be prideful, right? And there's just so much that can trickle down when you're not secure in who God's called you to be and the leader he's called you to be. We don't need to let that have room in our lives and in our hearts, because our hearts need to be focused on investing into the kingdom of God, right? So if we've got some of that insecurity, we need to trickle that out, work on it, get around the right leaders or mentors or pastor or coaches, spend time with the Lord to really work on that issue, because we need all the heart that we can give to God's kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming back soon. We don't know when, but he is. And it's our duty and our obligation mandated in scripture to fulfill the Great Commission and to build the kingdom of God, build disciples, go into all the world and preach the message of Jesus and his resurrection. So it's not time to be insecure. We just got to be secure in who God's called us to be. And there are deeper issues, you know, in that. And, you know, people probably face a lot of trauma or XYZ. There's always something, right? But it's really important that if you are in a leadership capacity to, all right, let's talk about these insecurities.
Yeah.
We're not going to let them linger in our heart or in our mind, because that is just going to destroy us eventually.
Yeah.
It'll catch up with you.
I think having confidence is good. Mm-hmm. Having too much confidence is bad, and having too little confidence is bad as well.
Right.
Because I think being confident that the Lord has put us where we are, right, that the Lord has given us gifts that don't belong to us, but we get to use them for his glory, you know. So it just ties into kind of like when we talk about growth tracks, it's like finding your divine design. Like, I think as creatives who serve a lot, we've found it. You know, our design is to be on the worship team, is to be on the production team, to serve God in that capacity. And so I think, insecurity can tie into a lot. You know, like I referenced earlier, social media can be a lot with comparison, you know, but it's just tough when so many things are out there and so many kinds of different people are out there. But just remember that the Lord made us the way that we are, and the position that we're in at the church, the teams that we are in, the teams that you are in aren't, you know, they're not a coincidence. They're not because... they're not because we didn't have enough people to serve. It's like, that's where God has put us in this season. And it doesn't necessarily have to be forever, right? It's just the season that we're in now. So that's one of the really good points.
I think it's totally possible to have 100% confidence and 100% humility.
Yeah, of course.
Like that's totally the goal, right? Yeah, it's not a 50-50 thing. Like, I can't be too confident because I got to be humble. No, you are 100% confident in who God has called you to be. God wants you to be confident.
Totally. It's good, bro. It's good.
Amen. But he also wants you to be humble, right?
Yeah.
Because he'll exalt you if you humble yourself.
Yep.
But if you exalt yourself, he's going to humble you quick. So it's having both.
Mm-hmm.
It's a both and.
It's good.
That's what we like to say here at Motion.
It's fire.
Both and.
Love it. Next.
Next. Don't give in to poor thinking. We want to be high level thinkers.
Yeah, we do. What does that mean? I'm just kidding.
Don't give in to poor thinking. You know, when you hear someone talking, badly or, you know, critiquing too much or,
yeah,
you know, whatever. Don't give into that. Don't let that fill your mind. Like, cut that out right away. God doesn't want you to think lowly or poorly. We want to think better. We want to think higher. And you know, the scripture says, like, our thoughts are nothing like his thoughts. But at the same time, like, we're not, this isn't like comparing it to that. Like, we're not trying to think like God. We're not trying to be God. We're not trying to fully understand everything God is. Last time we tried to do that, you know, we ate the fruit of the tree and then we corrupted the world
and brought, ruined it.
We brought sin and everything. But we want to think like Christ. We want to have a high level thinking, and, you know, poor thinking leads to poor results. So yeah,
it's good.
Be high level thinkers.
Yeah, I have nothing to add. That's Love straightforward.
And kind of just to wrap those points up. There's three things that you always want to be, you know, checking in your life. And it's one, do I have a heart of God? Two, do I have the mind of Christ?
Yeah.
And three, this is kind of a unique one. Am I carrying and living out the genius of the Holy Spirit? Like, am I allowing the Holy Spirit in me to dwell and to, you know, just distribute gifts and better thinking and fresh perspective, fresh wind of things to flow through my life, right?
Yeah.
So heart of God, you know, loving like Jesus did, serving like Jesus did, the mind of Christ, having a transformed, a renewed mind every day, and then allowing the Holy Spirit just to breathe his genius on you. Yeah.
Fire.
So good.
It's good, man.
Okay, switching gears up here a little bit. Here's the next point. This is number four.
I like this one. This one's good. This one deserves a...
Whoa. Find the worship in the art of drawing someone's soul to Jesus.
That's good.
That's good. Well, why do you like that one so much?
Well, I just think that what we do is so genuine, and it's so special that, you know, think of an artist. Like, what's their motive? Like, a secular artist, they want to entertain people. They want to give them a good experience. They listen to their music and they're like, okay, yeah, we want to make this live experience so much better. And I think as believers and people who serve the Lord, the art of what we do is to bring people to the Lord. You know, like, our level of excellence isn't so Roger doesn't get mad, or so the church looks cool, or so the sound sounds good and the lights look great. Like, what we do as a church is bring in people to Christ. And
every level of the spectrum.
Every level. And I had an experience a couple weeks ago with somebody who came up to Sam McDonald and they were complaining about the lights. We hashed it out, so we're all good. But, you know, he just said that in that moment it was impeding him from receiving a blessing that day. So I was like, oh, you know, I apologized. And we talked about it. And then he kind of emailed me apologizing for the way he approached me. And I accepted his apology. I thought it was totally fine. But then I was like, man, it is kind of our responsibility to make sure that the environment we create is appropriate and it's comfortable for people to come in and give their lives to Christ. Because if a newcomer, you know, can come into the church and they might be bothered by how loud, you know, the song is, or if someone's singing out of tune, you know, like, worship leaders need to be careful of that. They're going to leave. Like, it's just going to be a distraction. And then they're not. Like, what if that was the day that they were willing to give their life to Christ? But then because our level of excellence was so poor, that wasn't the case, right? So this is all, it's like a, it's not a, it's not even a tactic. It's just more like, that's just what we do.
Yeah. Everything we do is tied to souls.
Yeah. And it's revolved around the fact that we are followers of Jesus who are called to preach the gospel, but also when we serve him, that's when we have the opportunity to use our crafts, right, to be able to reach the lost at any cost. So,
reach the lost at any cost.
That's good.
It's a good word.
This is too fun. I promise every podcast won't be like this. This is the first time I'm using it.
It might be.
Or maybe. I don't know.
Okay, here's the next one. Inspire others and help others know their purpose and be an encourager. Kind of a mouthful, but... Yeah. Be an inspiration.
Lift each other up.
Lift each other up. Encourage people.
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy for someone to have a bad day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, and it can be hard for some people to have a good day. You know, some people wake up and they're like, this is the day the Lord has made.
John Williams.
I'll rejoice and be glad in it. They're smiling. They're saying hello, everybody. You know, they're living the best life ever. And to those people.
Are you a morning person?
Kind
of.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you're here at 5:30 every day. Every Sunday, sorry. So you kind of learn, don't you?
Yeah.
In a way.
I desperately want to be a morning person. I kind of am a morning. I'm waking up early now that I have a kid.
Yeah.
So like today she woke up at 5.
Nice. And you've been up since 5?
Yeah. I mean, I laid in bed and for a little bit and just.
And cried.
Internally cried.
You were like.
Wow. That's good. I don't even remember the point. Oh, people having a bad day.
Yes. A bad morning.
Bad morning. You know, it's just very easy. For, you know, you turn on the news, it's negative.
Oh, it's depressing.
You go outside and there's traffic.
Yeah.
And you know, like there's just so many things that people are triggered by now. And we live in a fast paced society.
The Starbucks line was too long and you couldn't get your coffee.
There's like, always something to complain about.
Something.
But I think it's important for us as Christians to set the tone. And find the gold in the day, you know?
Yeah.
And something we say around here is we're not going to have a great day. We're going to make it a great day.
Yeah.
Like we get to choose, despite our circumstances, how we're going to respond. I think, you know, people aren't defined by what happens to them. They're defined by their response.
Yeah.
And what happens, you know? So if something poorly is going around you, you know, it's choosing to think higher and think better and choosing, you know, despite the circumstance, like I'm still going to choose to make today a great day because the Lord's put breath in my lungs.
Yeah.
He's given me like ... Just go down the list. Like just, I have a beautiful home. It's a beautiful day outside. My kids, you know, are smiling. My wife, like there's so many reasons just to recount. You know, in the word, it talks about counting your blessings and just remembering the faithfulness of God. And I think that's so important to do. And when we do that ourselves, then that gives us the capacity to be encouragers and to inspire others. And it's not being over the top about it, but, you know, it's just encouraging someone at the grocery store, like, hey, God loves you.
Yeah.
Or Jesus loves you. Like,
yeah.
Just being an inviter, inviting people to church and, you know.
Yeah, I had the opportunity this past Sunday to do pre-service prayer, and I spoke about posture of gratitude. And it all starts with just gratitude. Mm-hmm. If you're thankful for what the Lord has given you, then that just sets you up for success. You know, waking up every day, thank you, Lord, because I opened my eyes, because my family's with me at home. If you're married, because your spouse, you know, has health, your kids have health. It's all out of gratitude. And so my dad always says, you know, everything is what you make it. So if you're going to make it, if you're choosing to make it a bad day, it 100% will be a bad day. You know, if you're choosing to let what somebody did bother you, it's going to bother you. So if you choose to be forgiving, to be understanding with somebody who's having a bad day, it's like, hey, man, you know, I'm going through this. It's like, it's all right, bro. Instead of like, why are you putting it out on me, you know? Because that's really easy to do. Somebody can be having a bad day and it's like, well, what's his problem? But maybe they just had something tragic happen or they got bad news or we don't know. So it's just the importance of being there for one another. The point was inspire others and help others know their purpose. So it's like, hey, like maybe they're feeling down because they couldn't get a part of a song. It's like, hey, bro, it's like, it's all good. We're still here to worship the Lord. And or how can I help you? You know, what chords do you need or whatever? I'm just thinking out loud. But yeah, just be encouraging, be nice to people.
And, you know, when you have the discipline of gratitude, because it's something you should practice daily. Like, it's no one's ever going to reach perfection, you know. Because things do arise.
Yeah.
But when we have the discipline to have gratitude, it actually literally changes our brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are chemicals in your body that are in response to having a good attitude.
Wow.
You know, like if you constantly tell yourself you're sick or like that you're going to be depressed or sad, that
and you're going
to
be it.
Your body's literally going to respond to that.
I'm going
to
be a millionaire one day.
Yeah, speak it, bro. But yeah, so having a good attitude and practicing that daily really will, longevity of your life is going to be better and more whole.
Yeah.
Not because of outside circumstances, but because you've shifted your perspective.
Yeah, and it's all mindset. Like literally what the point that you said, mind of Christ. You know, if that's what our motive is, that's what we revolve around, then that's what we'll become.
Amen.
It's good. And last but not least,
this is a great point. And, you know, this is a good final point.
It's good.
You know, if this were a sermon, the keys player would be coming up right now. He'd be setting a little pad.
I'd like to have the band come up. I don't have a pad.
We're going to have the band come up and then the pad.
We should put a pad right now so that when we do our last...
little piano playing. Okay, last point. Not bigger and better, but deeper and wider.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening to... No, I'm just kidding.
Not bigger and better, but deeper and wider. What does that mean? You know, I'll speak into the context of worship.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to be bigger and better. We're not trying to blow up our platform. We're not trying to release albums and songs to
win Grammys.
That is not the purpose behind it. The purpose isn't behind, you know, having a bigger and better ministry. Mm-hmm. What does that even mean? Why does bigger even mean better?
Yeah.
You can have a really big team.
It's more problems.
And it could be toxic and there's no culture and there's, if it's not grounded in the word of God and in prayer, then it's like, that's just a big headache.
Yeah.
But the call for us as believers, I think the call for our team is let's go deeper and wider.
Yeah.
Like let's plant ourselves like in the word and in his presence and just allow him to then expand our territory when we get deeper and wider in his presence.
Let's go deeper and wider. Ascend.
Ascend.
But doesn't really make sense, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Because we could do so many things and it's all superficial. We could go out and spend $2 million on a bigger stage, bigger PA, the best instruments. But if we don't have worshipers, if we don't have leaders and musicians and production people who have the right heart, I mean, what's that going to lead to?
Well, here's the thing to kind of tie it into a sentence of the word of the year.
Yeah.
I heard a quote one time, the taller the tree, the deeper its roots.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for something to have grown and be healthy and to ascend, right? We have to put in the work to go deeper.
Yeah.
To build in that foundation. What was the word of the year last year? Do you remember? I was on the poster for it.
You don't remember it?
It was like a deeper into the depths.
Into the depths.
It was into the depths.
Was it?
Yeah.
But you were at a library.
Yeah, because
we were going deeper into the word. To the word.
God. Come on. So 2023, word of the year. Into the depths.
Yeah.
Right? And then 2024, ascend. We can now ascend because we went deeper and wider.
Bro.
And so the taller the tree, the deeper its roots.
Come on. That's good. Yeah, these are just a couple of them. I know there's more, but we just wanted to give you a little
taste.
A little sprinkle, a little bit of this, of of what the Lord has given to Caleb, the wisdom, because he's got a couple years under his belt of this, you know. So if there's one person that you want to learn from, it's definitely him and Roger and God, of course. But thank you, guys.
Got a great team.
Yeah. Thank you to the teams that serve every weekend.
Love you guys.
I told my PLOP team, I'm like, you guys are like the faithful five, because there's like five people that my team hasn't grown. I'm going to call myself up. But there's like five people who constantly serve every weekend. I'm like, you guys are like, we're like this, you know, we're united.
Tell each one of those five to bring a friend.
I will. But yeah, I thank them because I'm like, you know, there's not a lot of us, but you guys are always here and willing to serve. So if you're listening to the pod, you know who you are. Thank you guys for serving. We're coming into a season where things are kind of going to settle down because there's no major events coming up. But I mean, we're still going to be busy. But
we got marriage night. We got three boom camps.
Yeah, but
we got UG camp.
Okay, well,
I guess we got United night.
I guess we're busy, JK. My schedule's clear. No, it's not. That's a joke.
No, it's going to be a good summer.
Yeah. I'm excited, looking forward to it. We got this new toy, so look forward to more little pad thingies. I don't know. This is great. This is fun. All right, guys. We love you.
Thank
you for tuning in. Until next time.